Our next guest is Andy King. Andy is a professor of business administration at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. His latest paper is titled, How Useful is the Theory of Disruptive Innovation? And it can be found in the MIT Sloan Management Review. Your research examined Clay Christensen. He's a Harvard Business School professor who wrote a number of books and articles about disruptive innovation. And your paper examined whether this actually reflects what happens in the real world. Let's start with just a quick definition. What, in layman's terms, is disruptive innovation?
That is a great question, because I think it gets to the issue of the definition in layman's terms and the definition in a technical term. So I think, and Professor Christensen has talked about this himself, that the term has received a kind of folk definition, as in anything that disrupts an incumbent firm, an existing successful firm. But that's not what actually he was describing in his research. You have incumbent firms that are following sustaining innovation that overshoots what customers really need. This opens the door for a new innovator with an initially inferior product, but that product improves, eventually gets good enough so that it takes over not the new market or the bottom of the existing market, but the entire market. And that then disrupts, removes, damages, destroys the existing firms.
And in your paper, you looked at 77 different examples and found that only seven really conform to the four key elements of the theory, which is 9%, which is pretty striking. And, you know, this is a show about the management of innovation. So I think of our customer as this manager, our listener, rather, of the show is that manager who, you know, every time he goes to a conference about innovation, there's somebody there saying how important it is to disrupt yourself before somebody else does. You know, let's arm the rebels and feed the cannibals or whatever. You know, fund the cannibals. Let's invest in this. And your finding is that this is a lot less frequent than Christensen and his colleagues would have us believe.
Yes, and I don't think that's entirely Clay's fault. In fact, if you go back and you look at his first few research papers, they're quite precise and they're quite, I think they're right, his original Business History Review paper, and I think he wrote one in another journal. I think what happened is the idea is so attractive that we want to apply it everywhere. And sadly, the academic community didn't do what is needed, which is to go out and say, how predictive is this theory? It does happen. There's no doubt it happens. I've even confirmed it happens. But I think very important is for us to know how valuable is it. And if no one has reined in our hopes on it, we'll use it for everything. And so it's been used. Most recently, it's been used to understand the Donald Trump campaign. Surely that's not correct, right? It's been used to understand the rise of terrorism. And recently, the same day our paper came out, someone used it to understand the rise of millennials. It just has been wildly overused. And I think even by Clay in his second book with Michael Rayner, I think they had already begun that process. So we need to rein it way back, not give up on it, but trim it a lot back.